Well, as I stated in the announcements, we'll be singing a few songs as we go through this lesson. If you want to go ahead and have your songbooks open to number 56, that'll be our first song. So in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, we read of God, of course, in creation, and we read of the Godhead in plurality. We read of Word, where it says in verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the Word of God was involved, light was involved, and life. And so these are three basic components that we see in the book of John as we begin there this evening. So let's go over to John chapter 1 and read from verses 6 through 18. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received in grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So the question in the lesson this evening, and there are many answers we can give to this question, but we'll just go through and see how many. There are so many in the scriptures, especially in the book of John. The question is, why did the Word become flesh? And we see in just this small set of scriptures, in these verses, there are three good answers there. One in verse 12, where it says there that he came to give us the right to become children of God. This is a predominant theme in the book of John about the Father desiring for us to be his children. And through Jesus, he makes that possible. Also, we read in verse 17 that he came to give us grace and truth. We know that he promised to give the Holy Spirit, to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to testify of him. And that's why we have these holy scriptures this evening. So blessed to have the Word of God, that he speaks to us not only in through creation that we've just talked about, but in the holy scriptures. And he came to declare the Father, to make it possible for us to see the Father through Jesus. Now let's go over to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we have some more answers. Why did the Word become flesh? He became flesh so that the world should be saved through him. We see that in chapter 3 and verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he's sent so that we may not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the power of creation through Jesus. Also, we see in verse 21 a couple of other reasons why the Word became flesh. In verse 21, we read, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So to make those works or deeds clearly seen. He makes it possible for us to have this ability because we have light and we can see ourselves in the mirror of God's word with this light to see that our works are being done in God. We can examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, and we can see that whether or not we have a clear conscience. Also there in verse 21, it gives us another reason. The word became flesh to give us the opportunity to come to the light. This is what we must let people see in our lives, that we are servants of the Lord, and we want to help them to see the need, the absolute essential need of them to come to the light in obedience and to let the light motivate them to repent. Also there in chapter 3, let's go down to verse 31. And we have another answer for this question in verse 31 from John the Baptist. He says of Jesus, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So there we see the reason he came to bear witness or to testify of what he has seen and heard. As we know, as we just read, he's been in the bosom of the Father, and that unity is stressed so frequently in the Word of God, and especially in the book of John. Unity with the Father. Then we go on to chapter 4, and we see there, of course, that's the story of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And because of her faith and her bold proclamation of Jesus, we read in verse 42 of John 4, "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.' And so he came, so that the Samaritans would know and hear and believe." Jesus is the Savior of all men, and there would be no separation. He would come to all men, to the Samaritans as well as to the Jews. And we see in verse 19 of chapter 5, the response Jesus gives. Chapter 5 of John, and verse 19, where he's responding to the Jews' desire to kill him. And it says there in verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" We see that unity there in works of Jesus. And once again, we stress this matter of the Father. He continues to speak of the Father as we have these records for us and answers for us. He came to do what he sees the Father doing. He did not come of his own accord, but he came of the Father to do the Father's will. And then as we see also in verse 17, that he worked on the Sabbath. This is what the context is all about there in verse 17, where we read there, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." And so the harmony there with the Father, doing the work that needs to be done to see, let people see that he is the Christ. And to show the Father to them. Also in verse 21, we read there, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." And the Son, of course, is able, as we see there, the Son came and the Word became flesh to raise the dead and to give life. This is what we see in Romans chapter 6. Now, take your song books and be ready, for we'll read from John 6 and verse 32, and then Brother Robert will be leading song number 56. And so in John chapter 6 and verse 32, there we read, "Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So we see here, he came and became fleshed because his Father sent him to be the true bread from heaven. Now let us open our psalm books and sing number 56. Number 56, Living Water, Bread of Life.
God sent springs into the valleys, flowing softly through the hills. God sent strength down from the mountains, leaping over rocks and rills. He fills rivers, he fills oceans. Oh, what bounty overflows! But his gift of living water quenches thirst within my soul. God makes seed we plant for harvest, grows the seedling in the field, ripens grain for us together, for the good bread it will yield. He made man ascend from heaven, oh, what bounty he bestows! Yet the bread of life he gives me, feeds me hunger of my soul. God provides in great abundance, of his bounty he has said. I'll not see the saints forsaken, or the righteous begging bread. Father, keep it still before me, greatest bounty you bestow is the Christ, the living water, bread of life to fill my soul.
Let's continue with John chapter 7 now and read more of from the Word of God, these reasons why the Word became flesh. We're thankful for that true bread, the living water, the strength in our souls that we have to fight the good fight of faith. There's those who hate Jesus, and we see there in John chapter 7 and verse 7 where he says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil." But he goes on, because they were marveling because of his ability to know letters, as it says in verse 15 of chapter 7 of John, Jesus answered them. Let's start in verse 14 of chapter 7, where it says, "Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Here we see another answer to that question. He became flesh to teach his Father's doctrine. And we have that before us. As his disciples, we're so blessed to have the Father's doctrine and the beauty of it, the love and the kindness that is instilled in it. Also, we see there in chapter 8, in verse 29, another good answer for this question. In chapter 8 of John, in verse 29, we read there, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." We can have that blessed assurance and trust in the Father as well if we are determined to do those things which are pleasing to him and repent of those things that are amiss in our lives. So he came to do those things and to be our example. Also, we have a choice. We know that children obey their fathers when a home is properly maintained. And we see that in verse 38. There's a choice that we have. Who will we obey? Jesus spoke to these who were his enemies, and he said, verse 38 of John chapter 8, "I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father." So the ability Jesus has to give us that choice between two fathers, we must understand that the father of lies is out there. We must not live a lie or love a lie, but we must live and love the truth. Also in verse 40, not only to give us a choice between two fathers, but in verse 40 we read, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." In other words, Abraham did not seek to kill. He wanted to trust in the Lord and follow him. So we see there, Jesus came to tell his enemies the truth. He was bold to do this, and because of their desire to have the kingdom established in their way, they would not receive him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now let's go to verses 49 and 50. We see there in chapter 8, verses 49 and 50, Jesus answered those who were accusing him of having a demon. Jesus answered in verse 49 of chapter 8, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." He's speaking of his Father, and he's speaking of the need to honor his Father, and we as God's children need to do this as well. Honor him by praying to him and praising him, giving him our hearts. So Jesus came to honor his Father and to seek the Father's glory. Also, now let's go to chapter 10. In chapter 10 of John, verse 17, we read there of Jesus as he speaks of himself as the good shepherd. Chapter 10 of John and verse 17, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Speaking of and prophecy of the resurrection, the crucifixion, that he would be crucified according to the scriptures and be raised and be exalted. So he came to lay down his life for the sheep. Of course, we know in order to be classified as one of the sheep in his flock, we must be humble, we must repent of our sins, and be at peace with Jesus and with God, and in submission to them. Also, we see there in verse 38 of John chapter 10, where we read there, we'll start with verse 37. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." So he came, and the Word became flesh, so that we may know and believe that the Father is in him and he in the Father. It's a beautiful picture of unity throughout the book of John, we see this. And then also in chapter 11, let's go to chapter 11 as we move along and find answers to this question. In chapter 11 and verse 40, where Jesus has come and he has already commanded them to take away the stone, that is the stone in front of Lazarus' tomb. In John chapter 11, in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So he came to show us the glory of God. As we've already talked about in our studies in Ezekiel, God brings life to the impossible, where we saw the dry bones, and the vision there was that God brings the dead to life. And here he was showing that he could do many miracles. We see there in John 11, verse 40, to show us that he came to show us the glory of God, that is the dead being brought to life. If you'd like to go ahead and open your songbooks to song number 787, that we'll be singing that in just a moment. While you're doing that, we'll go ahead and read a couple of more verses in the book of John, chapter 11, where we see in verse 47, "Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, 'What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation.'" Notice how they emphasize how powerful these signs were, that he worked many signs, and that the signs were done, the many miracles were done, so that all men would believe on him. This is why he came to the earth, and the Word became flesh, for this great reason, so that we could believe in him through these miracles, as we studied this morning. Now we'll read in verse 52, and then Brother Robert will lead us in song number 787. In verse 52 of John 11, we read, as they continued to speak of Jesus, and they said, "And not for that nation only, but for also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." So the prophecy of this high priest prophesying that Jesus would die for the nation, this is why he became flesh. He became flesh to gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Think of this as we studied in the Old Testament of the power that God would have to bring the remnant back from all over. Here Jesus is doing that same thing through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, and those who carried the gospel to everyone. So now let's open our psalm books to number 787. Brother Robert will lead us.
Seven, bring them in.
Oh, soul, hark, is the shepherd's voice I hear. Out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who are gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Boom, go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. Oh, bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the us to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
The Father's love is active in this great work. We want to let the Father's love permeate through our hearts and give us the ability to go out and be used to help bring them in from the fields of sin. In this way, God will be glorified. We see that over in John chapter 12 and verse 23. The message of the gospel brings glory to God. And Jesus knew that his time was near to suffer the death, to bring all who would believe to everlasting life. And it says in John 12, 23, but Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So he came to be glorified, and he came so that the Father could glorify his own name. You see that in verse 27, where it reads, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Also in verse 31, we have another answer to this question. The Word became flesh so that he may cast out the prince of this world. We see that in verse 31. Once again, in allusion to the cross and the power of the preaching of the cross, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now let's go to chapter 13. The humility of Jesus being that Lamb of God is seen so vividly, but also in what he did in this example in chapter 13 of washing the disciples' feet. In verse 15 of chapter 13, we read, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So to give us that example, Jesus came for this purpose. Also, he gives us the opportunity to come unto the Father, as we see in this powerful passage of John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, that is Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The opportunity is today. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus, by the light of the gospel, this light comes through the Holy Spirit and the writings therein. It shows us in chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, that the works are there to show us the Father. It says in chapter 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Just emphasizing Jesus' deity as the Word, and the Father is in him, and he within the Father. And then in verse 12, of course, Jesus says, Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. This is just emphasizing the faith and love is seen in our works as we walk in his steps. For we know that Jesus has left us those footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. So we must follow the steps of Jesus wherever we go. Now, let us turn to number 464. We'll be singing that song in just a moment. 464. Thankful for Brother Robert leading these songs. Before we sing that song, let's look at one more reason why the Word became flesh. As we know, if a shepherd is doing his job, the sheep are given peace and protection. And this is where we have Jesus as the Prince of Peace. We know he made peace through the blood of his cross. And we see that emphasized in verse 27 of John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, with that peace in our hearts, let's sing about the perfect peace of Jesus.
Four 64, peace, perfect peace. Oh, me soul, peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duty's breast, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round, on Jesus' bosom, not but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus, we know, and he is on the throne. It is enough, earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to his perfect peace.
So we should not be anxious about our future, as we sang in that song. We should be content and have a blessed assurance, for we know that Jesus not only is on that throne, but he's also on the throne of our hearts. And as we talked about earlier about the illuminating power of Jesus as the light, that's what we see in chapter 15 of John in verse 22. that he came for this purpose, so that his enemies, that he could take away the enemy's cloak for their sins. He said in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. It's all been revealed, and the scriptures are there, living and powerful, and there's no way that the enemies can say that they haven't been warned. So they must be humble and be mindful of their ways, not to deceive themselves, but to humble themselves and make the need come to Jesus to have their needs met. Then in verse 24, we also have another reason there. It says, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. Once again, these works that he keeps talking about, the Father's works are being done in him, and he did these works among his enemies. These are the works that no other man did. This is why he became flesh. But as we've already talked about with the death of Jesus, he describes it as drinking of this cup. This cup that he had to drink of, as he told Peter to put up his sword. Let's look to John 18, verse 11. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? He came to drink that cup, even though it was so hard and he was in terrible agony in the garden. He was willing to do the Father's will. This is essential and absolutely important for him, for the unity that we've talked about this evening with him. He wanted to have that once again, as we see in John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus, the Word, before the world was, the Word came forth. And because of his Word, we have light. We have the light that sustains us physically. We have the light of the world, Jesus. We have the life here in the flesh because of the blessings that he showers upon us in physical terms. We also have spiritual life because we have the living water and the bread of life. We have the doctrine. We have the protection. We have the safety. We have all that we need for life, to have it and to have it more abundantly. So we'll wrap up here with John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31 that we read this morning. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. You may have life in his name. So that we must read it and we must take it to heart as truth in order for us to have spiritual life and hope beyond the grave. In order to have that hope, you have to come to the God of hope. And the God of hope, through the Holy Scriptures, as we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So that's the message that has been preached by God's servants throughout the centuries. Repentance and remission of sins. We must repent or we will perish. This is the basics where we turn to the God of heaven. And he is one who molds us and makes us after his will. We know that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And when we believe to the point of obedience, where we trust in the Lord with all our heart, knowing that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we'll close with that passage in John, or sorry, Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So the living hope through Jesus is there through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If you need to obey the gospel, trusting in Jesus, this is your opportunity to come, and let us take advantage of that as we stand and sing.
Shall I stand?